This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
I'm going to be sharing with us this evening on the understanding times and seasons. Again, I know I talked something similar yesterday, but again, I see the signs that people are not paying attention to things. And how I know people are not paying attention is always in their language. Your language is a tell-bearer. It tells the wise what season you are in. Your language, your choice of words, how you speak. If you do not acknowledge a particular season, you will not speak as one who acknowledges it. I'm trying to be patient today. So since I rushed my class yesterday to some of you, and I really wanted to get it. When a woman is single, there's a way she speaks. Excuse me. When the same woman gets married, there's a way she begins to speak. Our speech would acknowledge a change of status. The way she thinks will acknowledge a state of status. When she gets pregnant, you will notice her speech will change. She begins to use words like, now I'm eating for two. When I deliver this baby, I'm going to lose all my baby fat. That will become very common in her words. She will begin to read books about pregnancy. She will begin to take pregnant care and other whatever. She will, languages like antenatal, like, oh, we'll be watching videos of certain stages. So what is first trimester, second trimester? It will become part of our everyday language. Oof. Even if you do so that is 2 weeks pregnant and there is no oof in the belly, like the belly has not come out yet, she acknowledges it and then she begins to speak. When she delivers a baby, you will notice a spiritual change. And many of you may not know, women spiritually are the keepers of time. Men do not keep time. I'm not talking about earthly sense, I'm talking spiritually. They're the keepers of time. When we want to measure the progress of time, we measure it by the speech of people. For example, if I come into the US and I ask, oh, how is the country? And somebody says, oh, terrible country, terrible country, terrible country. The person is telling us that they are in a terrible season, a terrible time. It has nothing to do with clock, or watch, or 10 past 12. Mm-mm. You come into another country, you ask, oh, how is the country? Oh, good country. Yeah, this is peaceful. Then what is that saying? That, oh, they are in a good time. They are in a pleasant time. They are in a good place. That's nothing to do with clock. If you ask a woman, how is your marriage? The best person to ask how the marriage is doing is the woman. Like I said, they are keepers of time. They can't pretend for long. A man may be in an unhappy marriage for 10 years, 20 years. He may not voice out. He may not say a word. He may not complain. He may not make a call. He may not tell anybody anything. Just be in the marriage, locked in, and bearing it. The woman does not behave that way. The woman will not report to the man's mother or father, but she will find a neutral person to talk to. She will talk to her mother, her father. So if she doesn't want to talk to her parents, she will talk to a friend, she will talk to a pastor, she will talk to, but she will talk. And from her speech, you will know the season she is in. If the season is good, if it is terrible, if it is bad, if it's abusive, if it's a season of misunderstanding, that's how you know time. That's how you know time. When we talk about God saying, this is how you should speak, you are saying you have to acknowledge, not looking at facts, but looking at the word of God, which is true. You then must position yourself to acknowledge that, okay, this is what God says. And even though everything you are looking at may not look so, they may not look so. Don't be one of those people who the Savior of the world was born. In their time, Jesus was born. Jesus grew up in their time. Jesus died in their time. Jesus resurrected in their time. They were alive at the time and they didn't know it. Why? Because they didn't acknowledge. Therefore, they were living in an alternate reality. While God's plan was happening right before their eyes, and they had no knowledge of it. I can name you two people from the Bible. Say, Lucanus was born a year, 3 years before Jesus was born. 3 years. Was 3 years older than Jesus. He was a genius, a prodigy, a doctor, a medical doctor, an athlete, a beautiful writer. He was in the University of Alexandria in Egypt, one of the best products they had for several years. Jesus was born in his lifetime. He had no idea. If they asked him at the time, he was still following the law of Moses. He was following the law of Moses. Jesus grew up in his lifetime. He had no idea. The truth came to this world, and some people did not know it. It passed them by. Passed them by. Passed them by. It wasn't as if he was born after. He was born in the time, and yet he did not know it. Long after Jesus had died, when Luke came into Jerusalem and he began to hear about Jesus, curiously, he wanted to find out who this man was. He began to talk to the mother. That was why when you read the book of Luke, you see how rich it is. It was the job of a researcher. He was never a disciple of Jesus. He began to ask questions. he discovered from all the things he was writing that the promised Savior of the world had come and had died and had resurrected and has ascended. He was alive and he knew it not. He had no idea. That was why he left everything he was doing, started following the apostles, so that if anything else will happen, he will not miss it again. Because that is a once in a lifetime thing that will happen. And if you miss it, you miss it. That was how many people missed the coming of the Lord. Because they would not acknowledge. They were thinking they were smart. People always think they are smart. Our wisdom is of the Lord. Our smartness is of the Lord. Anything we know outside of the word of God is a fact. It is not the truth. Anything you know, any knowledge, any idea you have outside of what God says is not the truth. Yesterday, I taught a class here. Usually, I get feedbacks. That's beautiful. And that's why I'm teaching this class, because of the feedbacks. I realized from the feedbacks that people didn't listen to me or I didn't teach it well. So I will take the blame. I didn't teach it well. At first, I told the first person, go back and listen. Told the second person, go back and listen. Told the third person, go back and listen. Then I was like, why? What were they missing? Why did they get what I was saying? Then I realized, I must have bungled the job yesterday. Maybe I was tired. Maybe I wasn't coordinated enough. So I'm teaching that class again today. The same one of yesterday. I'm just teaching it another way. You can be in a country and the country is going through the worst economic season of their life. Maybe you're in Somalia. And everybody in the country, they are saying, we must find a way to leave this country. We are dying by the millions. It is too hard. It is too difficult. And God will tell you, say, I am rich. Say, I am blessed. This is my instruction to you. Say there is plenty. Say I have the richest. Say I have all things. You don't have two options. Either to go with the facts, which are staring you in the face. Either to go with the facts or to go with the word of God. And everybody will look at you as if you are mad. It is either you keep saying, this is a land of prosperity. The lands are falling unto us in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage. And not only saying it, saying it also. Somebody wrote to me and said, Parabenga, what you said yesterday, I understand it, but in today's economy, though it is difficult, I put my two hands on my head. I said, Jesus, should I say this thing in Yoruba language or use Hausa or Egun? Should I say, why did I get this reply? Why did I get this reply? It bothered me a lot. I woke up at 2 a.m. I'm not kidding. Because such responses would then mean I've failed at my duty. The mention of economy that the person put in shows the person is looking at facts. Shows that the person was filtering out my words and measuring them against facts. See? The person heard me, but the person didn't listen to me. Or the person listened, but the person did not hear. The essence of that class was to take you away from the mindset of fact and put you right in the midst of God's word. The reason I'm doing that is simple. I began to say that the word of God to me is that we have entered into a season of abundance since 3 years ago. As I've seen it since we had the cash crunch and the fuel scarcity of Buhari days in Nigeria. And if you knew what I went through in that season, just traveling from Lagos to Nima City, what I went through, and what I went through, although, to be candid, a lot of people felt it more. But at that time, when this was so difficult, as I was praying, God said to me, I am bringing upon you, this nation, a season of abundance. God discountenanced my complaints. I was lamenting that how can we have a country and this is happening and that is happening and they were burning tires all over the road and they were causing riots in Ibadan. And I was going to travel through Ibadan. I remember many of my brothers and sisters, all of us were coming with our bus, and I had to be calling them to say, don't go through this place, don't go through that place. They are burning tires on this place. They are hurting people here. They are fighting over there. They are burning down your bank over here. I had gone ahead and I was calling the driver of the coastal bus and other buses, trying to help them navigate the road. And I turned to the Lord and I said, but why? What kind of country is this? If you understand the usual lamentation of a Nigerian who finds himself in the middle of happening, Nigeria happening, what they say Nigeria is happening to you. You find yourself right in the middle of Nigeria happening to you. And so I busted out and I was driving. And I began to speak. I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to just, what if I'm bad? Why are you making me stay in this country, God? I can live anywhere, and that's the truth. I can just decide to go and live in another country. I can't even move to Ghana or anywhere. Why am I here? What are you solving? I was screaming in the car. I had to turn back in several places. They said they are burning tires there. They will burn your car. Yeah, they will attack your car. Because I wasn't driving a small car. So they said, oh, they will take a government official. They will attack your car. So people are just, at a point, I had to come down from the car and stare down at the touts and stare them face to face and tell them to get out of the road because they were blocking everywhere. And of course, when I got back into my car, adrenaline pumping in my heart. I was like, oh my God, what kind of country? And the voice of the Lord came to me and he said, I am bringing unto this nation a season of abundance. He didn't respond to my words. He just, pow! And I kept quiet. And he continued to speak. He told me, this is the duration it will last. This and this will happen. This and this will happen. This and this will happen. And I kept quiet because it was totally against my flow. It wasn't my words. I wasn't looking at rules. The signs were not showing it. Things were difficult at the time. And yet, God gave me an alternative. Either you look at the situation or you follow my words. Those who look at the situation, they are still complaining till today. Those who follow the word of God, I gave the word 2 years ago and I mentioned 8 years. Those who follow the word of God have seen them prosper. I've seen them prosper. And I kid you not. I'm not talking about frolicking with maybe rich people who are in government. No, no, no. I'm talking about my people, my brothers and sisters that we are in fellowship together. I have seen them rise simply because I said to them, this is God's word. And they held on to it. And they went with that mindset. They went with that mindset in doing all their businesses. So their businesses were done and they had no losses. They began to commission houses, commission businesses, opening 3, 4, 5 outlets, building new entirely new businesses. Like somebody was in this business, and then basically because I said, well, I mean, come, I started another round of business, and it's another thing entirely. Oh, I'm just commissioning this project. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody. I was the one that announced it. I started telling the Lord, I said, Lord, 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 show me. How do I key into this abundance thing? Because I'm not into business or anything. So I'm like, how does it benefit me? Which farm do I go and sow seed now? Where do I go and cultivate? I cannot be the announcer and not benefit of it. And I'm saying the same to you. You have to take away your lens of facts. It is not so difficult to do. Just disbelieve the things you are reading in newspapers or stop reading them. Disbelieve every naysaying. I said this yesterday. Just choose. Tell yourself, okay, my mouth is not for lamentation. My mouth is for praises, thanksgiving. My bowels are full. I am in the middle of my golden season in God. The nation I am in is prospering. Talk to God. Then say it. Believe God's word and say these things. And don't see them the way you do your confession. So I know many of us, when we make confessions, many of us just say things we don't believe, which is why our confessions are tardy and they don't really happen. I say only the things I believe. Like I said, if a woman is pregnant, her speech is going to be different from that of another woman that is not pregnant. Both of them have entered into two different realities. They may be twins, born on the same day of the same father and mother. Then one of them gets pregnant, and the other is not pregnant. They are living in the same house, exposed to the same condition, but one is pregnant. You will notice that both of them are in two different realities. The pregnant one has life in her, and she will speak forth that life and live forth that life. She's not just going to be saying it her mouth. The other one may be saying with her, oh, thank you, Jesus. We will give back there will be no stress. It will be easy. But it is the person that is pregnant that bears that reality. Empty affirmations that is not born of conviction. It's just talk. Empty affirmations, not born of conviction, is just talk. Empty talk. When people do that, which is why I said people like to read affirmations a lot, because affirmations that are written down are examples. Affirmations must come from your soul. You cannot pray my prayer. I cannot pray your prayer. You are not in my circumstances. I am not in your circumstances. You are not in my shoes. I'm not in your shoes. What I want is not what you want. So if they give us prayer points in church, it's a waste of time. Because the person that is giving the prayer point himself has a totally different need, want, and reality. So when I see people in church say, yeah, pastor will call prayer for us, he will say, Father, in the name of Jesus, any cockroach in my cupboard, oh yeah, kill it. I say, that is not prayer. That is not born of conviction. That is not my situation. You cannot tell all of us that, oh, any witch, you know, witch is disturbing me. Why are you telling me to pray a prayer of witches? You cannot tell me, oh, this scholarship, I don't need the scholarship. Why are you telling me to pray scholarship prayer? So again, it is the general post-literate conscious Christianity in Nigeria that led to such things. But now we are born of God, we are taught of God. Therefore, faith has become a personal thing, a personal reality. And because faith is a personal reality, you must therefore work it out personally. Are you in your season of abundance? The answer should be yes, not because Rabbi Nkan said so, but because you are convinced it is. Once you wear that lens, you begin to see opportunities. When you wear the lens of lamentation, all you see is despair and hopelessness. You don't want to invest in anything. You don't want to be a part of anything. You just want to be. And time does not wait. Like I said, you come into a country, somebody then asks you, how is the country? You will say, oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. Then the person sees me, the person asks me, but I think, how is Nigeria? And I'll say, oh, fantastic. Nigeria has gone green again. Glory to God. Nigeria is making great progress. And they'll be wondering which country you came from and which country I came from. Both of us are from the same country in the same environment, but we are seeing things from different perspectives. The reason I have seen it from the perspective from which I have seen it is not because I'm looking at the fact or the rose. It is because the word of God is what I'm affirming. Lest I will not be a partaker of that which the Lord has said. If you do not believe God's word, you will not partake of it. The Bible told us the story of the sage at Samaria, 2 Kings, I believe chapter 4. Says some enemies came to wage war against Samaria. Samaria was a city that was built for defense. So as soon as they saw that the enemies were coming, they closed the city gate and they locked themselves in. That was their defense. The Assyrians that came to fight them didn't have the technology to break the walls down. So the Assyrians decided they were going to wait them out. Because if you lock yourself in, you have to eat, drink, and the whole nation would consume food quickly when they don't have work. So the Assyrians sat opposite them, and the Assyrians decided, okay, we would outwit them. When they are dead of hunger, they will come out. So the Samaritans, were in their city, locked in, rationing food, while the Assyrians came with food abundant. They came with more than enough food so that they can stay there for years. And they will continue to eat and enjoy, waiting for these people to die of hunger or for one of them to open the gate so that they can go in and kill all of them. So it was a strategy of war. And this was the picture when we saw the king walking about the quarters, and one woman came to him and said, King, please come and judge. I and the woman made a deal that we'll eat our children. We ate my own child yesterday, but this woman had gone to hide a child. And the king was like, my God, how can this happen in a city that has a prophet? What did the city have? Prophet, it was not about the king. It was not about the economy. It was not about the agricultural land. It was not about the rain. It was not about the policy. It was about the supernatural. He said, we have a prophet in this city, and people are resolved to cannibalism in order to survive. He said, go and get me the head of Elisha. That was what the king said. Go and get me the head of Elisha. Get me the head of the prophet. Elisha was in his house with the elders of Israel. They were having a meeting. Suddenly, he heard the commotion of soldiers moving. The elders were like, ah, those are soldiers. Where are they going? Elisha told them, they were coming for my head. They close the door, close the door. Don't let them come in. Don't let them come in. Block the door. So all the elders and their youth people among them went and they blocked the door. So the security men came and knocked on the door. Open this door. Open this door. What do you want? What do you want? The king said, we should call you. Elijah said, he didn't say you should call me. He said, you should cut my head. Tell the truth. And let the devil be put to shame. He said, it's true. The king said, we should cut your head. He said, okay. Don't worry. I want to keep my head. Tell the king that by this time tomorrow, there'll be food. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, be going. Tell him that by this time tomorrow morning, there will be food. There'll be food everywhere. Yeah? Oh, yeah, be going. I'm telling you, that was the conversation. And the soldiers then marched back to the king and told the king that, king, when we got to him, he said, by this time tomorrow morning, there will be food. And then one of the ministers with him said, he was just scared. He was scared that you are going to cut his head. So he not lied. He lied. How can there be food? How can there be food? Look, well, even if they open the windows of heaven, where will the food come from? Hi. He was looking at facts. He was looking at facts. He was putting formula. He was working EM minus 2 equal to X. Solve for Y. Simultaneous equation. Balance the equation. Without using almighty formula. Now you square root cube root pi X. Hey. And the prophet said, you will see this thing, but you will not be a partaker of it. You see, the lessons we learn from scripture are not just stories that we tell. They constitute our adjustment, our attitudinal adjustment to position ourselves correctly to the position of God on any matter. When God speaks, all we do is align. That's what we are looking for. What has God said? Once God say anything, our position then will be to align to that word of God, to say, where is God? Because we know that God's side will win. So anybody that wants to win, there's no big deal. You want to win, just find where God is and stay there. You will win. That's all we do. The Bible said that same day, because the prophet spoke, angels, maybe just one, they came into the desert and they began to mash their foot on the ground as if a mighty army was coming. The soldiers in the Assyrian camp, they were hearing footsteps as if they are doing 1 million man march. They were hearing footsteps. The earth was shaking and they were hearing footsteps of people moving. So they were like, hey, there is movement. But we cannot see where the enemy is coming from. But there is movement. Ha! Oh my. They quickly called a meeting. The king of Assyria must have sent for help from another king. And if that king attacks us from the back and we begin to fight that king, then Assyria will now open his gate and attack us from the back. So we will now be cutting between that army and the Assyrian and the Samaritan honey. Then they began to hear sounds of horses. They began to hear trumpets. Cavalry. The Bible said all the soldiers carried their shoes and ran. They were scared off. So they left in such a hurry that they left their food supply that was supposed to last them for years. They left everything behind. They ran. It happened in the night. By the next morning, the gates of Assyria were still shut around 4 a.m. Lepers in those days don't work during the day. They have a colony for them. They forbid them from moving because leprosy is contagious. And so if anybody has got leprosy, they say, oh, move away before you spread it to other people. So these lepers were hungry. Normally, relatives of lepers would take food and drop it at the entrance of the lepers' colony so that lepers can have something to eat. Because if they don't eat, they will come out of that place, and if they come out, they will infect other people. So it's better to just make sure they have their food so that they will eat there and stay there. But there was no food for the people that are in the city. So therefore, there was no food for the lepers. So the lepers came out. Intention was to go beg for food from the Assyrians. They knew that the Assyrians could kill them or feed them. But they said, what is the point? If we stayed, we will die. So let's go there and meet them and beg. Only for them to get to the Assyrian camp, and they realized it was empty. And yet, they had food supply that would feed an army for years. It was the lepers that went to knock on the door of the gate before the sun would come up. And they announced that the soldiers were gone and there was food. The Bible said the watchers went down, saw it, took some food into the city, then they called others, and suddenly a city that was in scarcity had more than enough. Based on what did they have more than enough? Not based on facts, not based on permutation, not based on policy. It was based on the word of the prophet. Based on the word of the prophet. I'm saying to you, adjust your attitude, adjust your thinking, adjust your language, adjust to the frequency of the word of God. Just adjust. Move away from the naysayers. I told you yesterday, as rich as Jerusalem was, there are people who are still poor. As blessed and as anointed as David was as king, there were people who were opposing David. Hushai from the tribe of Benjamin made us realize that some people saw David as an usurper who took the throne of Saul illegally. And when David had problem with Absalom, the man came out and began to say, oh, God has caught you, thief, thief. Brother Saul, he took you from village, brought you to the city. Oh, what did you do? You killed Goliath. After that, he gave you place in the palace, and now you took his throne. God has caught you. Now your own son has done it to you. The Bible said that David heard Hushai saying these things to him for his face with dust. Guy was throwing dust at David. One of David's men said, should I kill him? David said, no, don't kill him. He's a naysayer. See? That's what a person cannot benefit of the kingdom. He will be in the kingdom. He will just be suffering while other people are prospering because his attitude, his behavior, his mindset is anti anything David does, he will hate it. Therefore, he cannot prosper. You see? He can't because anything David does, he will hate it. Therefore, he cannot prosper. If somebody hates me, for example, if I talk something, the person will not want to touch it. If I sit down somewhere, the person will not want to sit down there. If I tell other people, oh, guys, they are doing something good about it, the person will not listen. The person will say, well, I don't want to follow, but I mean, God's word. I hate him. So as long as the person hates me, no matter the benefit I bring, the person will turn his back on it. Therefore, every other person will enjoy the benefit I bring. But that person will be the one to suffer. Why? Because the person's attitude, behavior, mindset, worldview, the person's heart is against me. So everything that is for me, the person will not want. You see the problem? You see the if we are going somewhere, we are traveling, somebody does not like me, and there is space in only my car, every other car is filled up, the person will say, no, I rather walk. I rather walk than enter by having gas car. I rather walk over my dead body. Will I enter that guy? That guy, the snake, I hate it. So all of us will travel and the person will begin to walk. You see now? Not because there is no space for him or her, but because of attitude, because of behavior, because of worldview, because of their adjustment, they would not see any good. I said yesterday, if you don't see good, you don't talk good, you don't think good, you will not do good. If you don't talk it, you don't see it, you don't think it, you will not do it. Other people will prosper. All you will have at the end of the day is lamentation, complaining. You will be wondering, oh, you will not. I give an example of somebody I gave some money to. I didn't see the money multiplied to 100 million. Somebody wrote to me and said, are you saying the money multiplied? I said, no, I didn't see anything like that. I said, the person's attitude, because I told him. The person came to me and said, we have nothing. I said, how can a Christian be saying we have nothing? Okay, I will give you something. Take this money. I said, put it in your bank. Don't spend it. Then from today, you will no longer say, I have nothing. As long as it's in your account, you'll be saying, I have money. I am blessed. I am rich. And then you continue to experience increase. And I said, the person crossed the first 100 million in savings in 5 years. Which means from 20,000, the person continued to grow exponentially because the person's attitude changed, mindset changed, began to approach things in a positive way, and then the increase began to come. So I wasn't talking about miracle money. I was talking about attitude. You can be in this country, lament and lament, and your children can inherit lamentation from you. I can tell you for a fact. I can show you people that since they were young, all they were doing is lamenting. And till now, they are still lamenting. And their children have started lamenting like them. I was born of another class of people in Christ. I refuse to lament. I refuse to complain. I refuse to see a casting down. I declare by the word of my mouth, from 2017, when the Lord told me that this is how to speak, and I began to speak like that, I've never had a year that was not better than the previous year. At every level, the things I don't have is because I don't want them. That's the truth. If I want anything under this heaven, by the grace of God, I don't have to pray to have it. So if I don't have something, it's just that I choose not to have it because I don't need it. And we're all in the same country. And I have pastor's friend, pastor, who when I talk to them and tell them, this is your attitude, is the reason why today your engine is broken down. Next tomorrow, you and your children are working. Next tomorrow, there is nothing. You've been in ministry for 15 years. Is this your attitude? You hold the microphone, you are preaching, but you don't understand what you are preaching. You are saying, no, you must tell the government as it is. You don't have sense. You belong to the government of heaven. You don't belong to the government of Nigeria. Let the government people, let the people of each kingdom walk according to the reality of their kingdom. Jesus Christ said that Jerusalem does not have a want of men, in their kingdom. He said, in fact, when they told him, Herod wants to see you, he said, Herod does not have a want of men, of advisors in his palace. Because Jesus did not come for the kingdom of Herod, so he doesn't have anything to do with Herod. He came for the kingdom of God. So he came for the kingdom of God. I explained it yesterday. There are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of men. Both of them are working together. The governors, the president, are for the kingdom of men. Any Christian that is lamenting, looking at the governors and president, the Christian simply does not know Christianity. You belong to another kingdom. Just as this kingdom is in that kingdom. All of us are mixed together, but everybody, if my mother called, if you have 30 children together, in fact, was it not a documentary I was watching of the shepherds of Jerusalem? They said, when the shepherds, all of them, like 30 or 40 shepherds, they have sheep, they will come to a river to drink. All the sheep will mix together to drink. All the sheep, rather, they will mix together to drink. And when they are done drinking, each shepherd will stand up and do, tap, tap, just make a sound with their mouth. And all the sheep will follow their own shepherd. They will not miss it. Every sheep knows their shepherd. The same thing with Nigeria or any other country where you are dwelling in. When Jesus comes, he will pick his people. When the Nigerian government comes, they will pick their people. All of us will be living together, but we don't belong to the same kingdom. For a Christian to be lamenting about the government of a country, he doesn't understand Christianity. We can vote if we have to. I don't have anything against. We can do our civic duty. I understand that. But your language, if your language is formulated by government and you speak governmentness instead of Christianese, hey! I pity you. Hey! You must speak the language of the kingdom you belong. Your attitude must reflect. Every year, the government of the nation will read a budget. I never look at it. I look at the manifesto of heaven. What is God saying? What is God saying? Where God is saying is where you are alive. That is how people of the kingdom of God prosper. If he says, oh, sow here, you sow there. Everybody will be saying, no, that's a bad business to put your money into. And they will be looking at all the signs and they will move away. But God tells you to go there. You will go there. You will prosper there. God tells somebody else, oh, this is what to do. Everybody says, ah, that thing can never sell in Nigeria. Then it will sell. And they'll be wondering, how are you doing it? Well, you follow the constitution of a government that is not of this world. The same attitude is what you have to adopt in your speech. Many of us are too worldly, not in the sinful way, but in our consciousness. We are too government conscious, always about the government, the people, Trump, Farage, Badenoch, Tinubu, our conversation is always around these guys. And we are always looking at these guys, and it has affected the way we judge matters. And as a result of that, you can become so withdrawn when you look at all this and just say, ah, well, I'm tired of this world. See? Why? Because of the things you see that are affecting your consciousness. There's a state in America, I believe it's called Pittsburgh. I'm trying to remember the name, either it is Pittsburgh or Portland, one of those two locations. I have a pastor friend there. This state is a steel mining state. So most of the people there were miners, and they were making a lot of money because, you know, they do a lot of exploration. And suddenly, the government made a policy, and they stopped mining activities under Obama. And they said, no, America is no longer doing those things. China is now the one that is doing those things. America is now for innovation. They are no longer doing all this, what do they call them? Cats. They call them cat something. Where they prospect for oil and all that. They said, no, we are no longer doing that. We are no longer. So this. And this guy is a pastor, has a church. And overnight, all the people moved away. The miners moved away. Businesses moved away. And was left with a dead church. And I remember at that time, he wrote and he said he needed help. I didn't know, should he shut down the church? Should he move? And I said, no. I said, it is time to show people that it is our kingdom is not influenced by people. People don't have the kind of power they think they have. That church can prosper, even as all the economic activity has moved away. He said, hey. I said, yeah. I said, I believe so. That if you would do it the right way. He said, what's that? I said, this is what to say, this is what to say, this is what to say. Be speaking this way, be speaking this way, be speaking this way. I also learned it from, I believe I was watching and Mark, no, not him. Somebody, I was reading somebody's article or watching somebody, and the person, I read the testimony. So I said, I believe that this is the principle of heaven. God has sent you somewhere. Therefore, you do not depend on people or economic activity around that place to survive. You are the economic activity of that place. He said, hey. I said, yes. And he began. Every day, yeah, in his church, they would do in the morning declaration. He would tell them, when you go out today, this is the mindset. When you go out today, this is mindset. Tell everybody you are welcome to this city, the city of prosperity. Talk to them. Do you know this church? They had nothing. They began to speak. And then some members, as they are getting encouraged, members began to buy the properties that people left behind. Some of the members would get money and say, oh, let's buy this one. Real estate, let's buy that one. Before you know it, the church itself had enough money. They bought more properties. Next thing you know, the church took over that environment. All the empty lots, the church took it over, remodeled it, built a bigger church, and then they had a community. And when people noticed, people began to move there. People began to say, ah, see, that place, they are prospering in that place. People began to move in. People are renting houses. People are buying houses. And there was no mining activity anymore, but there was kingdom activity. And a place that was meant to be a ghost city is still thriving till today because there was kingdom activity. This is what I brought to you yesterday, and I believe I brought it again to you today. If you understand it better today, can I see your hand? Did I do better today? Encourage me. Otherwise, we'll stay at it. I will preach another 1 hour. Don't let me do another 1 hour. Thank you. I want more hand. I want to be sure you got it. Is it clear? Attitude, everything, adjusting, mindset. Glory to God. Thank you. No, I love you. I have to do it 2 times, but it is well. Let's do our offering. It's time to give our offering. And this offering is the offering of abundance because I have to teach it twice. So now everybody gets to partake of double portion. I'm also giving, I've also been giving, but this one, yeah. This offering is an adjustment offering. I just want you to adjust. And as you give unto the Lord, He's helping you also to adjust. Doesn't matter where you come from, southwest, southeast, south, 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 north, south, north, no matter where, which country, it is your season. This is our season. And we must have the right mindset, the right approach, the right worldview, the right understanding to take advantage of all the blessings that God is bringing our way. It will not pass us by. Therefore, as we give, I declare, there's an offering of faith, an offering of connection, an offering of divine elevation for every one of us. In these seasons, we are moving from the level we were to a much higher one. We are dwelling in abundance, operating in infinite possibilities of grace, increase, and power. We are rich. Not just the material things, but even in the content of our mind. We are rich. We see opportunities. We take opportunities. Opportunities come to us freely by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. In your chosen field, it is the word of God. In your chosen field, you have more than enough. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Oh, In the country where you dwell, their currency answers to you. Every form of stagnancy, barrenness, dryness have no place in your mandate of abundance. In this season of abundance, you have everything that you need. When you speak abundance. When you think abundance. Your mind automatically multiplies things. When people are saying there is no way, your mind finds a solution. Your spirit finds a solution. You find yourself speaking solution, thinking solution, talking solution. Everybody that needs a solution comes to you. It doesn't matter whether it is in banking, agriculture, medical field, whether it's electronics, commerce, trade, whether it is in big deals and small deals, refining products, transportation, no matter the field, they need a solution. You will be the one to provide it. For the mind you have and the spirit you have is of the key that opens closed doors. This is the word of God. I speak blessings to you. Whatever your hand finds to do, you prosper therein. You prosper deeply, and you prosper, and you bring forth the word of God with a testimony. By the time the season that you are in continuously answer in your life, you would see the blessings of the Lord, and you are full partaker of it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for you have answered all our prayers. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory! Glory to God.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.